Chapter 3. What Road to Take?
Quote, "Treasure your relationships, not your possessions." Anthony J. D'Angelo, founder of the Collegiate Empowerment Company. So many roads, so little time. When it comes to networking, everyone is a potential new connection for you. You never know who could bring value into your life. It's mind-boggling to think of all the time you could spend meeting new people and developing these new relationships. And while I believe that everyone does have value, I believe we must strive to be more targeted in our approach to networking. The reality is you have a limited amount of time and energy. Since networking is not your full-time job, it's time to figure out who is most important to you and with whom you will invest more of your time, energy, and talent in developing a lasting relationship. Who is in your world? No doubt you know many people from different areas of your life. You work with some, you play with some, you serve on committees with some. The question is, how many people do you know and who know you? The average that I've read is somewhere around 250. Perhaps you have a few less, perhaps you know a few more. It's a good exercise to make a list of all the people you have met who know you. I call this the My World exercise. My World exercise. Think of the people you've met and who know you. List them by the different groups that you associate with them. Your family, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, past job associates, exercise fitness, church spiritual, community service, hobbies, volunteer groups, college friends, school kids, etc. Do this exercise without access to your computer database or cell phone. You'll probably be able to generate a list of several hundred people. Once you've done this, then access your address list located on your cell phone, computer, and social media sites, and look over the holiday cards that you've sent and received in the past. Watch how this list of people grows. How many people are on your list now? Are you surprised? This is a glimpse of who is in your current network. Keep this list handy. Who is in your inner circle? What do all these people have in common? You are the connecting thread, the link to all these people. They are in your life and in your sphere of influence. Now, I'd like you to think in pictures. Imagine a ring of concentric circles, like the logo for the Target store or a bullseye target for an archer. The smallest point in the center of the page is worth the most points. That's you. What's cool about concentric circles is that they are simply circles that have the same center. They fit inside each other and are about the same distance apart all the way around. From a networking point of view, the common center point is you. Yes, you are the center of the universe. Surrounding you and your center point is a small group of people that matter most to you. They love you and care for you and would do anything for you. Who could you share your biggest dreams, fears, concerns, and triumphs with? Who would give you candid, critical feedback, even when you didn't ask for it? Who comes to mind when I read this description to you? Perhaps members of your family or your best friends? Write their names down right now. Now think a little more broadly about the people closest to you in your career and work life. With whom do you have a good relationship with? Who would call you back promptly if you left a voicemail? Who would go out of the way to help you if you asked? Whom do you respect, admire, and care about? Write their names down now. Your top 50 contacts. What you have begun to build is a list of your top 50 contacts, the 50 most important people in your network. I support the idea that our personal and professional networks cross over. In fact, my mother, father, husband, uncle, and sister-in-laws have helped me to achieve my professional goals many times over. Why would I exclude them? They care the most about me of anyone I know. In making my list of my top 50 contacts, I have 5 basic criteria that I like to meet. You may have more qualifying factors, but here is a simple guideline you might consider using. 1. You have a good relationship with that person. 2. You care about this individual as a person. 3. The individual cares about you as a person. 4. You can help this person achieve his or her goals. 5. This person can help you achieve your goals. Now, with this criteria in mind, who comes to mind as members of your top 50 networking contacts? Note, you can write them down in any order. Hierarchy is not important. So what do you do with your top 50 contact list when you create it? You make these relationships a priority by putting more time and attention into them. I recommend you practice a higher frequency of touch with these important people. Check out this strategy. 55-10-2 strategy. This strategy was shared with me by Angela Rossetti, an avid networking and tennis professional. On August 18, 2009, Angelo and his identical twin brother, Ettore, broke the world record for the longest tennis rally, successfully completing 25,944 consecutive strokes during a period of 14 hours and 31 minutes. Now that's bladder control. Angelo taught me a great deal about effective networking when I first launched my own company in 2005. One of the ideas that stuck with me was the idea of knowing who my top 50 contacts are and practicing the 55-10-2 strategy. Here's how it works. Identify your top 50 contacts. Reach out and touch base with them once every 5 weeks or so. That means you will be reaching out to 10 people a week or 2 people a day. Monday to Friday, you can take the weekends off. Can you do that? Touch base with 2 people each day? And not just any 2 people. 2 people who are among the most important to you in your professional network. If you commute, consider reaching out to 1 person during your morning commute and 1 person on your afternoon commute. This assumes you can speak on the phone safely while you drive. Find out what communication channels your top 50 folks prefer. Are they telephone people, email people, texting people? Do they like to sit down with you for coffee or lunch? Are they golfing people? Quality of communication counts when you're networking with your top 50 folks. Make sure they like the way you are staying in touch with them. Expanding your sphere of influence. One of the benefits of becoming a motivated networker is that you are continually expanding your sphere of influence. This means that you're involved and have a say in how the world works, at least part of it. You have a broader resources that you can draw upon when you need help. The more people you know and who know you will determine how many people show up at your funeral or your 100th birthday, whichever comes first. Let's bring back the image of the concentric circles now. What is the next ring that lies outside your top 50 contacts? I propose that there are 3 more rings that we need to discuss here in our work together. Active network. These are the people in your daily world. You live next door to them, you work with them, you see them at the meetings and gatherings. You may be friends, acquaintances, or even arch enemies. The point is you run into them regularly. They are in your active part of your life right now, and you have some kind of relationship with them. They are the easiest relationships to develop and strengthen from a networking point of view. Why? Proximity and regularity. You only have to extend yourself a little bit to start to build upon these relationships. Lost network, also called your past network. These are the people you used to be in your active network, but something changed and you haven't seen them in a very long time. You used to live next door to them. You were best friends in school. You worked together on that project at the old company. You socialized with them, and then something happened. Someone moved. Someone got divorced. Someone left the company, and you lost touch with that person. You haven't seen each other in a very long time. You may not even remember that person's full name. The good news is that you can reclaim your lost network by finding those individuals on the many social networking sites like Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and the thousands of other sites focused on connecting people online. Just recently, I was connected to my best friend in middle school. It has been years since we were in touch with each other. It was a joy to hear about her life and family and her many adventures through the years. Now we can pick up where we left off. This relationship may become important again in my life and business, or it may just be a wonderful blast from the past. Either way, good stuff. Future network. These are all the people you haven't yet met, but you'd like to. You may discover them purely by accident or chance, the power of serendipity. Other people may suggest them as good contacts for you, or you might purposely seek out to add them to your network. I call this targeted networking. Think about whom you'd like to add to your professional network right now. Whom would you like to have a relationship with that could add value to your life, your career, and business? Whose company would you enjoy, and whom would you like to learn from? Whose brain would you like to pick? Write that person's name down right now. If you're drawing a complete blank, don't worry. This is a normal reaction to this exercise. Why not get some ideas by flipping through a business magazine, newspaper, or published list of people in your industry? Who are the movers and shakers in your field? Pick one, do some research on that person. Yes, that's easy thanks to the internet and social media sites. Now find someone in your existing network, top 50 or active network, who knows that person or who knows someone else that would be willing to introduce you. How do you make that happen? You tell everyone you know you're looking to meet that person. Quick story. A few years back, I had the pleasure of conducting a series of two-day workshops called Powerful Presentations. A number of executives from the insurance and financial services industry attended the course. They were all dynamic, talented, and motivated leaders, very willing to try new things to sharpen their presentation skills and confidence. One such leader was Alan. Shortly after the training workshop, Alan and his team had a presentation to the C-suite executives at his company, a leading global financial services organization. He and I had a private coaching session to strategize his team's approach. He committed to doing the Six Sigma update presentation completely without PowerPoint, using props and stories to enhance audience engagement. Alan emailed me after his team presentation with the great news. It had gone extremely well. The CEO loved it and suggested that Alan and his team take the show on the road. Needless to say, I was jumping up and down in my office after reading Alan's email. At that moment, I set the goal to meet the CEO of this large financial service organization. For the next 8 months, I told many people about my goal of meeting the CEO, not knowing who might know her or have connections to her. I did try the direct approach, asking Alan for an introduction, but that didn't materialize as I had hoped. Then I tried the cold calling approach, telephoning the CEO's office and trying to get time on her very busy calendar. Like most vendors, I was quickly referred to the HR department. No luck through this route. I incorporated my goal of meeting the CEO into almost every professional talk I gave about networking. I used it as an example of how the more specific you can be in who you're looking to meet, the closer you are to reaching your goal. It wasn't until I sat down one day and had lunch with a wonderful woman in my top 50 by the name of Judith. Judith at the time was on the staff of the YWCA of the Hartford region. In the course of our conversation, I shared my goal about meeting the CEO and asked Judith if she knew her. She told me that she had lunch with her just the week before. Wow, I was one degree away. Now I had to ask the big question. Judith, do you think you could introduce me to her? I'd like to add her to my professional network, and I think I could do some business with her company. Judith said that she could do that, but suggested a better strategy. Why don't we introduce you first to Liz, who used to work directly for the CEO and who still is very good friends with her. Liz is involved with some of the YWC projects, as you are, and I think you two would hit it off. Liz can then introduce you to her. I followed Judith's advice and got to know Liz, who, by the way, is a dynamic, talented, motivated, and fun person. Liz is now part of my active network, a real bonus I wasn't expecting to have in this journey. Over the next 2 months, I had several face-to-face exchanges with Liz, getting to know her in the context of our board work together with the YWCA. She even purchased an audio CD program entitled Motivated Networking Follow-Up that I was offering as a fundraising project for the nonprofit organization. I ran into Liz at the sponsor breakfast at the YWCA Money Conference for Women. She enthusiastically came up to me at the breakfast buffet line and said, "I am so impressed with you. You're the reason I'm here today. Come sit down next to me." We had a great conversation over scrambled eggs and fruit. I then took a deep breath and asked her the question, "Liz, do you think you could introduce me to your CEO?" She responded, pounding her fist on the table, "Consider it done." 2 months later, the CEO, Liz, and I were having lunch in their company cafeteria. It was relaxed and interesting. As it turned out, the CEO was a very approachable and real person who happens to have a very big job. I followed up after the luncheon with a personalized card. 3 months later, I got an email from the HR leader at the company telling me that she'd like to speak to me about an executive coaching assignment. Upon probing, it turned out the CEO had suggested my name. I landed the assignment and now have the opportunity once again to serve the company and its employees. Networking builds not only relationships, but real business opportunities. What's the moral of the story? Decide who you want to add to your professional network. Tell everyone in your active network whom you're looking to meet, and then be ready when the opportunity presents itself. It will present itself if you are patient, flexible, and have the ability and willingness to build strong, supportive relationships.